Okay. For today, anyways, we wanted to try to make a little more headway, try to get through mostly the topic of Chalipin. So the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Aleph, just to go through the Gemara again quickly, and then continue where we left off. The Gemara says, Minyana Dereisha Lemutei Mai, here on Gimel Amud Aleph, Minyana De Sefer Lemutei Mai. Why do you need to mention three drachim? Two drachim to be Kones Atzma. So the Gemara says, Minyana Dereisha Lemutei Chupa. And then the Gemara says, Rav Huna Delmar Chupa Konim Bekavachomer Lemutei Mai. According to Rav Huna, that Chupa actually does work. So what are we excluding? So the Gemara says, Lemutei Chalipin. That we're coming to exclude that kiddushin al yidei chalipin. That you might have thought that chalipin would be a basis for kiddushin. So kadai techamina ho v'gamar kicha kicha mistei afron. Why would you think that chalipin would be an effective method of kiddushin? Because we derive kiddushin kesef from kicha kicha mistei afron, right? Ma sada mekanya b'chalipin af ishaname mekanya b'chalipin. So just as a piece of real estate is acquired on the basis of Kinyan Chalipin. So you might think that what works for real estate works for Isha, and there's the debate among the Rishonim how to read this Gemara. Is the Gemara asking this, or is the Gemara considering this possibility because of the proximity of Chalipin to Kesef, in which case we have to understand both the Havamina and the Maskana a little bit better, meaning what really is the relationship between Chalipin and Kesef, and that's one of the things we talked about, and we'll talk a little more about. Or is the basis of the Hava Mina not so much an equation or proximity at least of Chalipin to Kesef, but it's the notion that somehow the context of real estate, Kinyanim, right, is a relevant paradigm for Kiddushe Isha. Not because Isha is a Sadem, but because, I guess, whatever is effective for Kinyan Sadeh, maybe that is a higher Madrega. Again, you don't really pick up a piece of karka and own it, in the way that you own metaltlin. You don't put it in your pocket. Karka le'olam ha'madas, the karka, the real estate's going to be there long after you, and it really belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom. So maybe the idea is that to be kona karka means to have a relationship or legal rights or a legal connection to the karka. And moreover, having rights in a karka is something you're kind of almost sharing with the Rabbonu Shel Olam, right? Because it's Allah Shem Ha'aretz Umbeloa. So, Kili Kol Ha'aretz. So maybe from that point of view, Kinyane Sadar are a good place to start, right, when you're thinking about Kinyane Ish. Last week we talked about the Marasa Machpelah, even more specifically, and especially the Raibid's view, that we're not comparing Isha at all to Kinyanei Sada. We're comparing Isha to Kinyanei Maris HaMachpelah. So what I was trying to say was, what's the Yichus of Maris HaMachpelah? And then I tried to explain that, number one, Chazal and others, Mefarshim, think that the Maris HaMachpelah was this focal point of the world, this very holy place, this place which was a linchpin in... That's more of a mystical idea. But certainly, as a legacy place for the Kvura of the Avos, right, it's very important for Klal Yisrael's self-identity. And I was trying to say further in the name of Rav Hirsch, and then I was extending it even further than that, and that is that, in a way, Maris HaMachpelah is not, it's not real estate alone, and it's not just the legacy of Klal Yisrael, it's the legacy of Klal Yisrael vis-a-vis the Avos and Imahos. It implies the chovas kvura that extends even after a spouse is no longer alive, that there's still a sense of responsibility, and that family ties transcend even life itself. In a way, that's a very profound idea, and the idea that, especially that it's an ishus element or dimension, is something that connects it to kicha kicha b'stei Ephron. Certainly doesn't trivialize ishus. It's because we look at the Maris HaMachpelah in a very different way. Anyways, that's the way we talked about it last week. So, but there are two ways to read the Gemara. One is that the Gemara thought that Kesef and Chalipin are tied together, and the other one is that there's some sort of an equation, at least some sort of a possible equation, either between Kinyane Sadeh and Kinyane Isha, or more specifically, according to the Raya, the Maris HaMachpelah's acquisition and Kinyane Isha. Okay, either way, the Gemara says, so that was the Ahava Mina, and then the Gemara says, V'eima HaChanami, like it sounds pretty good. Why should we reject it? So that's the Gemara's V'eima HaChanami. So the Gemara says, well, Chalipa Nisnai V'Pachas Mishavah Pruta, the Isha V'Pachas Mishavah Pruta, Lo Mekanya Nafsha, meaning the very fact that it's possible to acquire something with less than a pruta in the context of chalipin, that kind of contaminates or it, you know, denigrates the category of chalipin itself as a disqualifies it as a category that could be used for ishus. Because lo mekanya, according to the girsa of Rashi, the girsa that we have, lo mekanya nafsha. That's the Gemara. So what we saw already is that Rashi says the Gnai Hu La, and then Tosas understood Rashi in a very extreme way, that Rashi was explaining not just what's wrong with Chalipin Lamala Mipruta by virtue of the fact that there is something called Chalipin less than a Pruta. That's really what Rashi's explaining. Tosas thought either that Rashi wasn't explaining that, or that whatever, if Rashi was explaining that, the explanation still includes a perspective on what it means to be Mekadesh with less than a pruta. So Tosis understood Rashi is saying that the problem of being Mekadesh with less than a pruta is the problem of subjective Gnai Hu La. And then Tosis goes on to ask, if that would be the case, then we should treat it like the Gemara treats Beis Shammai's Dinar. You know, maybe you can go lower, maybe you need to go higher, depending on the subjective, you know, circumstances, the self-image of the bride. You know, she sees herself in very, you know, aristocratic terms, right? She looks in the mirror and she sees somebody who deserves much more than a pruta. So then you need more. And if she, you know, says, I'm not materialistic, this marriage is important to me, on the contrary, maybe she can get away with less. That's the whole discussion that we had, and then we tried to explain that others say that it's a low plug, and therefore it depends on batla daita itzel kaladam. And I was saying even further, based on the Ramban and others, that Rashi holds that there's something called kesef shalana, namely that it's not enough to give kesef, you have to give kesef which conveys a certain respectful posture. So just to highlight that a little bit further, and we'll talk more about it, there's a very beautiful nitziv on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Just turn to it for 1 minute. And it says, the Gemara in the Hei Amud Aleph just says, we'll get back to it, but the Gemara in the very top talks about the source for Kiddushei Shtar. So the Gemara says, Uminayin Sha'af B'Shtar. How do you know that Shtar also is a form of Kiddushin? So the Gemara says, initially the Gemara says, Vidinhu, it's a Kalvachomer. Right? What's a Kalvachomer? Ma Kesef She'in Motzi Machnis. Kesef, which doesn't have the ability to generate a get, right, or gerushin, and yet it works for kiddushin, even though it's limited, it can't be megarish, it still has the ability to be mekadesh, right? So shtar, shemotzi, shtar, which can even be motzi, einodin, shemachnis, kal v'chomer, it certainly could be machnis as well. Okay, that's kal v'chomer, typical kal v'chomer. So then the Gemara asks an interesting pircha. The Gemara says, Mala kesef shekein podinbo hekdesh umayser sheni. The Gemara says, no, shtar isn't stronger than kesef, because kesef works to be poda, hekdesh, and umayser sheni. Shtar does not. Right? Okay, good. So the Netziv asks a question. He says, how come the Gemara says, Mala kesef shekein podinbo hekdesh umayser sheni? Why not say that Mala Kesef Shekone B'Metaltalin? Right? Shtar's not Kone B'Metaltalin. Shtar works for Karka, but Shtar doesn't work for Metaltalin. So why not say Mala Kesef Shekone? Why do you need the exotic Hekdesh Meiser Sheni? Take something from everyday life, civil law. Right? Shtar doesn't work to acquire Metaltalin, mobilia, anything that's, you know, not land, real estate, and Kesef does. So then it says, well, if you hold this Machlokas or Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether Dvar Torah Mos Konos, or Dvar Torah only Meshicha is Kona. That's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Bamitzia. If you hold that Mos is not Konos, so then you can't ask this question. But if you hold Mos is Konos, not just Mashiach, then it's a pretty good question. So the Tziv says, I think it's a good question, but I have a good answer. What's the good answer? He says, what are we comparing here? What are we trying to figure out here? We're trying to figure out Kiddushei Kesef. So who says that Kiddushei Kesef should be learned out from Taltalin? Right? Maybe it's much more appealing to think that the paradigm for Kiddushei Kesef will be Shekein Podinbo Hekdesho Semaisa Sheini. Why? Says the Nitziv. Because when you're, this is the language that he uses, when you're trying to be Mekadosh an Isha, you're really like trying to be Mekanya Nafsha. You're not acquiring her as a Cheftza. She's not an object. It's a relationship, and it's a Dover Shebe Kedusha kind of a relationship. So the paradigm, right, is not Knias Metalkalin. The paradigm is Hekdeshos Maisa Sheni. So where did, and he says, and that's the Pshat, maybe, in the Gemara. Amdav Gimel Lamed Aleph, when the Gemara says that Isha Bepokos Mishava Pruta Lo Mekanya Nafsha, or the Gemara says you can't use Chalipin because Chalipin is insulting, right? Because in theory you can be Mekanya, you can use it with less than a Pruta, and then as we know the Girsa that we have, the Girsa that Rashi has, is Lo Mekanya Nafsha. So the Bali Tosis reject the Girsa of Mekanya Nafsha because they don't like the whole Rashi Maganayhula. I think I mentioned last week, I don't believe the Bali Tosis had a different Girsa. I believe that they, out of conviction, came to the conclusion that that Girsa must be wrong. I think everybody really has the text, the Kanya Nafsha, unless you take it out. So then Tziv says, that's a pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying, you can't be Mekadosh with Chalipin because it's Naya Vapakas Mipruta, right? And this is not just a regular Kinyan of a Chafza. This is a Kinyan of Nafsha. This is a Kinyan of a Dover Shebekdusha, something like Hekdesh or Pidyon Meiser Sheni. So again, the idea that we discussed last week, which is based on the Rambam's view of Mekadosh B'Milva and Matana Menas L'Hachzir, based on the Ramban's suggestion for Rashi, namely that you need not only Mamon or Kesef, but you need Kesef Shalhana, is a very similar idea. It's the same. Again, he's emphasizing the Nafsha in the sense of, you know, the Kedusha of the relationship. And you know, maybe it's coming from a different angle, but it's a very parallel thing. Of course, the Nitziv doesn't address an interesting question, and that emerges really from this discussion. And that is, so he's trying to answer: how come the Gemara didn't ask the Pircha Male Kesef Shekein Konin Bo Metaltalin? Right? So you say, because that's too secular. That's not. You know, that's not Kedusha enough. That's not Mekanya Nafsha. So, of course, the simple question is, and what about Kicha Kicha Misteyafron? Right? That's also secular. That's also real estate. That's also a business deal. But he doesn't answer it. He doesn't ask it there. Maybe he speaks about it elsewhere. But I think that goes with the answer of everything I said before. You know, whether it's the Maris HaMachpelah or real estate in general, we're not equating a woman to a real estate deal. What we are saying is that the acquisition of the Maris HaMachpelah, or maybe even the acquisition of real estate itself, is a very different kind of a kinyan than the acquisition of a cheftza of metaltalin. So that works in very nicely with this. Anyways, that's the whole discussion of Rashi, and by extension a little bit, the Rambam and the Ramban's reading of Rashi, and so on. What did the Bali Tosas come up with? So that we read also last week. They came up with the other perspective in the sugya, which is the Gemara never thought to equate real estate kinyanim and isha, says Bali Tosas. If that were the case, then the Gemara would have learned shtar from sada. The Gemara would have asked maybe chazaka should work in ishus, right? Obviously, the Gemara never ever thought that there's a broader equation between real estate kinyanim and isha. So what is the Gemara saying, that since sada works b'chalipin, therefore, Isha should work b'chalipin? Says Tosus, what the Gemara did think was that chalipin and kesef are practically hainuhach, or one is a subcategory of the other. We know that kicha kicha misteyafron works to teach you kiddushei kesef, right? Now, if I think that Chalipin is connected to Kesef, so then it gets dragged in with Kesef. And then we understand the Gemara's answer. If you drop the word Bekanya Nafsha, what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's saying, you think that Chalipin, whatever works for Kesef, works for Chalipin, because Chalipin is a subcategory of Kesef. Right? That isn't true, or it isn't true enough. How do we know? Because Kesef doesn't exist less than a Pruta. But Chalipin does. That proves that Chalipin is not Midin Kesef, or not sufficiently Midin Kesef. Once that's true, there's no Makar. There's no Kicha Kicha. This doesn't have to be anything wrong with Chalipin, as long as we just say that Chalipin isn't under the rubric, it's not included in the limud of Kesef, it's just not going to be a candidate.
Is it better than Kesef?
So this is the interesting question. It's not better, and it's not worse, it's different. Meaning, it's not going to work in Kiddushin. That makes it worse, inferior. But it does work in areas where Kesef might not work. For example, Tosas in the continuation, we read this last week, Tosas says, I don't understand, in Stay Ephron, Chalipin would work? How? It was a transaction between a Jew and a non-Jew. And when Gemara says in Matzachat Bechoros, that whatever transaction works for a Jew, you need a different transaction for a non-Jew. Jewish and non-Jewish civil law transactions are mutually exclusive. That's what the Gemara says in Bechoros. So Tosa says, well, that means that, here, just a little look at the line just for a second. Here on the bottom here, Tosa says, Vim Tomar, this is six lines up from the bottom of the page. Vim Tomar, Hechasol, Gadaitach, Tenelech, Misada, Ephron, Shetikne, Isha, Bechalipin. Everybody have it? Six lines up from the bottom. Tomar, Hechasol, Gadaitach, Tenelech, Misada, Ephron. Shek tikne isha b'chalipin. Bas de Ephron gufa lo mikni b'chalipin. On Gimel Amid Aleph. Everybody have it? Gimel Amid Aleph. It's now we're five lines up from the bottom of the page. De lo matzina b'chalipin lo b'kochavim. Chalipin can't work for b'kochavim. Tosus thinks. Right? Why? Do amina b'b'choros. The Gemara says, midi yisrael b'chada. O b'kochavim nami b'chada. If Yisrael has his kind of his kinyan, his exclusive kinyan, then a non-Jew has their exclusive kinyan. The Gemara discusses who has Meshicha, who has Kesef. Like you divide kinyan in between the. So Tosa says, listen to the answer. V'yishlomar tahayin lebar michalipin. Dumi the Yisrael, right? Bechada v'chikama mid Yisrael bechada kinyan chadash bar michalipin shein b'shneim. A very remarkable Tosa. Tosa says, yeah, there is mutual exclusivity in the kinyanim of a Jew and non-Jew, except Chalipin. Why? The Gemara says in Bechoros that there's a mutually exclusive kinyanim. So Tosa is faced with that problem. So what does Tosa say? Except for Chalipin. How do you know? Why should it be except for Chalipin? What's the answer? I think the answer is as follows. Going back to what you asked me a second ago, what did you just ask me? You said, which is superior, Kesef or Chalipin? And I said, it's not superior or inferior, they're different. Kesef works in Kiddushin, Chalipin does not. But Chalipin works in areas where Kesef may be done. We'll see more of this in just a second. For example, according to Tosus, it doesn't come under the rule of mutual exclusivity with Kinyane Akum. They'll explain why in a couple of minutes. Why is that? So I think that the answer is either because the nature of Kinyan Chalipin is just totally, totally different, Kinyan Das, which we're going to get to in a minute, or because even if there is a connection to Kesef, there's still a difference between Kesef and Chalipin that makes it better and worse. Namely, Kesef, I think this is what we were at in the end last week, Kesef is basically compensation. It's tashlumin, right? I'm getting an object, a be'en, I'm acquiring a cheftza, and I'm paying for it, I'm compensating for it, tashlumin. I'm giving you buying power in exchange, right? Chalipin, according to this perspective, is a kind of kesef, but it's really barter more than it is compensation. It's an exchange of be'ens. To such an extent that maybe that explains why you dafka needed a kli. Right? Ein matbeya nasa chalipin. Again, back to your question, is it better or is it worse? The answer is it's complicated. Right? There are things that work in chalipin that don't work in kesef, and there are things that work in kesef that don't work in chalipin. Ein matbeya nasa chalipin. The best way to acquire something with kesef is through a matbeya. We'll discuss, you know, in going forward at some point, which dinim in the halacha are subject to the rule of shava kesef kekesef. Right? Maisa sheni, hekdesh, giraon or piraon of an eved, kiddushin, nizik, payments of nizikin, gezel, right? When do we say that you have to pay by coin? When do we say shava kesef kekesef? That giving value is equal value is also enough? When do we say shava kesef kekesef, but only when we have a limud? Only when there's a source for it? And are there limits? So this is a discussion Tosas gets into on Beis Amud Aleph, right in the beginning of the Masechta, and it's joined by all the other Rishonim who say different things, the Ramban and the Rajba and the Ritva and the Ran and the Meiri and the Achronim get involved in this. That's a big question. Now, Chalipin doesn't work with a Madbeya. Kesef works best with a Madbeya. Right? I'll take it further. Ein peros. You can't use peros in chalipin. Right? You need a kli. Maybe even need a kli misuyam, a certain, you know, a kli that, you know, that has a certain integrity. That's the best way to explain a kli misuyam. A kli with integrity. Why? So what you might want to explain is that kesef is about tashlumin. It's about compensation. It's getting an object for value. But chalipin is an exchange of objects. For that reason, matbeya is not an object. A matbeya is better for compensation because of its efficiency, because of its symbolic usage in a particular society, right? It's more fungible, right? It's more accessible, more efficient, right? There's a certain agreement about its usage, but it's not an intrinsic. It can be, but you know, it could have metal value, but it's not a kli. But when you talk about barter, exchange, right? Shava b'shava, or even if it's shava b'ena shava, but especially shava b'shava, you're talking about a be'en and a be'en. Which is why, even as I said last week, even the language of the Mishnah, once you're Moshe Chuan, the other one becomes automatically your Rosh Hashanah. So you can almost see the pulling and the pushing. Right? It's, you know, like that. Mikshachas. I even raised the question last week, is there really a konet and a maknet? Right? When it comes to chalipin. It's hard to say. I mean, we'll talk about Rav and Levi in just a minute. There is on some level, but how you define, in kesef, it's easy to define who's the kohen and who's the makne. Right? The person giving the money is the kohen. The person giving up the object is the makne. But if I'm trading my para for your chamor, or my watch for your...
Para.
My what?
Para.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah. So who's the kona, who's the makne? Right? So is it the person who initiates and who initiates this transaction? Is it the person who initiates the Maisa Kenyan? Is it, if they're, you know, even if in Shava B'Shava, whoever's getting the better value, objectively? It's hard to know, and it's hard to know if there is such a thing. All I'm trying to say is, if you take the view that Chalipin is barter, you can explain why no matbeya, you can explain, you know, the payer is also no good. Because payers is a limited value, it's not a long-term object. You don't barter food for a ben, you barter a ben for a ben. Right? You don't really barter food for food either. I'm not saying in some cultures you can't use that terminology, but you get the idea in terms of drawing the line. So this is the idea of barter. Now, if that's what's going on here, so it's very interesting to say, according to Bali Tosas, so is Kesef and Chalipin related or not? Well, if what is Tashlumin, payment, compensation, and the other is barter, exchange, they are different, and we've accounted for some of the differences, but they're not completely unrelated either. These are different ways of exchanging. You can exchange through compensation, right? So, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too a little bit, but you can understand the Hav. I mean, you can understand the Maskana. What I mentioned last week was that Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar asked the question, how can the Mishnah later on Chav Vav Amud Aleph says that there are three ways to acquire real estate? Kesef Shtar and Chazaka. What about Chalipin? Everybody agrees that Chalipin works. Explicit Gemara is that Chalipin works in real estate. So how come it's not in the Mishnah? So there are two answers to this question that are given in the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar's answer is, well, it is in the Mishnah. Because it's Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka. It's in Kesef. The problem with Rabbeinu Tam's answer is that A, there are discrepancies between Chalipin and Kesef in both directions, as we just discussed. B, isn't that exactly what the Maskana of our Gemara here on Gimel Amud? The Bali Tosas, Rabbeinu Tam in the lead, are the ones who interpreted the Gemara as saying, we thought that Kesef and Chalipin are the same, and therefore Kiddushin can be with Chalipin. Kamash Milan, Kiva Disnayu, but Pachos Mipruta. It's not the same, they are different, and therefore you can't. So once you have that Maskana, how can you turn around on Chabav Mid Aleph and say that the word Kesef includes Chalipin? Right? What does Rabbeinu Tam do? No one asks this question that I know of, and no one, therefore, I'm not aware of anybody answering the question. It doesn't, to me, the question is not a sleep-losing question. Meaning, because you can have your cake and eat it too. Meaning, we always knew, the Ritva points this out, we always knew that there were differences between Chalipin and Kesef. We always knew the Ein Matbeya Nasa Chalipin and Ein Peros Nasa Chalipin. We always knew that Chalipin is Nayu, but Pachas Mishava Pruta. So what happened between the Havamina and the Maskana? That's one question. And if you look at the Lashonos of the Rishonim also, you know, some of them say Chalipin Hareu Kesef, some say Ke'ein Kesef, some say Domele Kesef. The Ritva is showing the similarly in the Maskana, how different is it? Are we saying it's Kirchok, Mizrach, Amar, they have nothing to do with each other? It's like Shtar and Kesef. Or like Chazaka and Kesef? Or are we saying they're not sufficiently identical, right, to work without a separate ribui and a separate limud? Both in the Havamina, we knew differences, and in the Maskana, maybe it remains a proximate kinyan. And I think that's a pshat in Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's going to tell you, the Havamina was that the subcategory of Chalipin, right, is so tied to Kesef that you don't need a new limud, even though there are differences. And the Maskana is, there are still differences that are sufficient that you need a ribui, that this kind of Kesef also works. But is it still Kesef that it can be included in the Mishnah later on? Sure. Now, what's the other answer? And that brings us to where we want to go next in the Rambam. But first I'll take your question. Yeah.
Why was Chalipin instituted with the characteristic that it can be returned? If I gave you Kesef,
yes,
and you gave it back to me immediately, would that constitute a good transaction?
So you asked me a very good question. Again, just to explain the question a little, the Gemara says in the Darim and Af Mem Ches. And Tosis quotes it on Vav Amud Beis, which we saw last week, that typically, in the case of Chalipin, right, the object, the Sudar, is returned. In other words, the Kone gives the Makne a Sudar of some sort, a pen, a handkerchief, whatever it is. And in the case of Sudar, like the more symbolic Kinyan Chalipins, and he returns it to him. The Gemara actually says in the Darim that that is not necessarily true. The Gemara there says, well, but if the guy insists on keeping it, he could. Im tapas lo mafkina mine. And that's how the Bali Tosfos understand it. The Chachmei Sfarad, the Ramban, the Rajba, the Ran, in different places, say, no, that's a Dechiya Ba'alma. When the Gemara says that, that's not Lamaskana. Really, you have to return the object. So, this is very relevant to the Gemara later on, where the Gemara seems to compare Matano Menas Lahaksir and Chalipin. Right? So, part of, according to some Rishonim, that comparison between Matano Menas Lahaksir, a matana on condition that you return it, and chalipin is based exactly on this either, you know, popular nihug of returning it, or especially if that's the halakha, right? So now you're asking me the question, how could it be that chalipin is a form of kesef, right, if in the end of the day you're going to return it? So the answer would be only if that is an extraneous nihug. In other words, if you take the Gemara like the Bali Tosus did, and maybe Lishitasa, as they said, the maskana is that you can keep it. So then the practice that most people give it back is their own decision. So if I give you kesef, and you decide you want to give it back to me, you can do that. As long as it isn't, you know, built into the kinyan itself, or unless it's matana menas lahachzir. But I do think that if you take another view, the view which we're going to describe in just a minute, then understanding that phenomenon, whether it's the typical practice or even more, makes even more sense. So that'll lead me to the next point. Are we good? Do we have any more questions? Yeah.
How do you reconcile the compensation aspect of kesef and kedushin, or is that why you need the lima?
No, I think in kedushin it's. Right, literally, but it's the more formal idea. But this goes really to the question that we've talked about before, and that is the debate between the Sma and the Taz, which really is a debate between Rishonim and Parakazov, but, and that is, and also the Socher Sumnin, and that is whether or not, even in the context of Karka, right, Kinyan Kesef is what they call Kesef or Piron. Meaning, is it betoris tchilas piron? Like I buy your field for $100, and I give you a dollar. Or we agree upon price of $100, and I give you a dollar, and we agree that the Kenyan will take place with the dollar. Is that dollar kone because it's the first of the hundred? And of course, it could be that we decide skipas milva to turn the rest, convert the rest of it into a milva, but it's still basically the $100 price tag that is buying this field. That is the view of the Sma in Sim Kuf Tzadi. The Taz says that's wrong. Taz says it's a symbolic formal kinyan. That's what you have in Hekdesh, right? And that's what you have in real estate. I give you a dollar, right? And it's not, if we agree upon a price for $100, you still have to give me $100. The dollar is not even part of the price tag, right? The dollar is just the symbolic method of exchange. So it's a symbol more than it is a real. That's that debate. The Avnei Miluim likes the Sma. The Nesivus likes the Taz. The Nesivus says, well, if Matana Menas Lahachzir works, apparently we're not interested in real compensation. It's more symbolic. And the Avnei Miluim says, no, it really is compensation. What about Kiddushin? The Taz says, what about Kiddushin? Doesn't that prove it's just symbolic? So the Avnei Miluim says, we're not acquiring the Isha, we're acquiring, we're making a Kinyan to develop legal interrelationships. You can put a price tag on the value of the legal interrelationships. I personally find that hard to understand. But that's what he says, both in Achuva and in the Avnei Miluim.
Why does Matana Amnas Lahafzir, which seems on its face, be a contradiction in terms?
Well, it's not a contradiction, it's a condition.
Pardon me?
It's a condition, it's not a contradiction.
Well, why not call it a bailment, a shomepinam or something like that?
Because when you own it, you own it. We'll discuss it when we get to Vav Mid Beis, whether there are limitations in your ownership when you own it. But again, the dalad minim on the first day, nidid lachem.
Yeah.
Right. So, but for the hour that, you know, till you give it back, and maybe you can choose to when you give it back, you own it 100%. You don't own a bailment 100%, ever. You don't own it at all.
Well, you don't own it 100% if you can't transfer title. To
no, that's the condition. Now, how is it an
condition against?
Well, you can transfer. Who said you can't transfer title to someone else? That's a debate. You might be able to, as long as so if you make sure that it gets back to but you impose the condition, and your ownership is contingent upon meeting the condition. So somehow you have to do that. But in the interim, as long as you're in control, there are Rishonim who think that there are no holds bar except for extraneously meeting that condition ultimately. There are others who think that there are limitations by virtue of the anticipation of the future return of the Yad. For example, there's a major debate among the Rishonim. Do you require a second kinyan? Right? I acquired, you gave me a matana menas lahachzir. I'd have to give back to you at some point. When I give it back to you, do you have to reacquire it with a kinyan, or does this boomerang back? That's an interesting question. Are there any limitations what I can do with a matana menas lahachzir, aside from the ones that clearly, legally clash, you know, with the ability to implement the condition? That's a machlokas rishonim. This is clearly a debate. And as I say, there are two gemaras. One is matana menas lahachzir. The gemara in the Dharma speaks about kniya menas lahaknos, which is maybe even more of a limited acquisition as opposed to a full acquisition with a conditional, extraneous rider. But that's part of the story. That's part of what we're talking about. Yeah.
But the Gemara learned that Karpus Nixon kept his shah and Chazoka. So the question is asked, why don't they say Chalipun?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So he said it's subsumed under Kesef.
Rabbeinu Tam says that.
Right. So you asked the question, how can that be? We say there's a difference right here with
right,
Gemara.
Right.
I think there's an answer to that.
Okay.
The reason Chalipun doesn't work by Kedusha, it's not because Chalipun doesn't work. In order for Chalipun to work, you need an agreement of the two parties.
Right.
You have one body, the woman doesn't want it. You hear? This is degrading.
No, she does want it.
It doesn't work. She doesn't want it.
Why doesn't she want it?
Because it's degrading.
No, that's Rashi. This is Tosis took out the Nafsha. Rashi said she doesn't want it. It's Gnayula. Tosis says, no, take out the word Nafsha. It has nothing to do with Gnay. It's an objective. She wants it, but it doesn't help anyway because it's a different kind of Kenyan. I'm saying within Tosos, which is Rabbeinu Tam, how could Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar turn around and say it's a different kind of Kenyan, but for Rashi, you're right. Okay, now I want to give the other answer to that question, and with that I want to introduce the Rambam. Okay, now, what's the other answer? So the Tosos, the Talmud Rajba, the Tosos Tach, other things, the Sma says this in Shulchan Aruch independently, they say you don't need to have Chalipin mentioned in the Mishnah about Kinyan Karka. You know why? Because Chalipin works. It's not a Kinyan Karka. Chalipin works because it's a universal Kinyan. It's a uniform Kinyan. That's why it works. The Mishnah is including only Kinyanim that are specific to real estate. This Chalipin works in real estate and it works in mobilia. Right? And it works in the same way, and for the same reason. It works because it's the universal Kenyan. By the way, that's an interesting answer, right? Now, it echoes kind of what Tosa said about the Gemara in Bechoros. I gave a different explanation before about the Gemara in Bechoros. Remember, let's go back to the Gemara in Bechoros. What did the Gemara in Bechoros say? It says usually when there's a Kenyan for Yisrael, there's a different Kenyan for a non-Jew, for whatever reason. So if that's the case, then how can you use Chalipin for non-Jew in real estate? Right? With Ephron, let's say, in theory even. If it works for a Jew, it doesn't work for a non-Jew. So Tosa says, that is the rule, but with everything but Chalipin. Right? So what do you mean? Why? Why everything but Chalipin? Ah. If there's something about Chalipin, right, which is more universal or more uniform, then it would make a lot of sense why it's not included you know, in this, if we're talking about very specific, very targeted, very specialized kinyanim, so one of the rules is that Jews and non-Jews don't share kinyanim. Right? Their notion, it's a fascinating thing. Their notion of real estate or their notion of transactions are different. Therefore, they can't use the same kinyan. But if we're talking about something which is universal and that's what it's the nature of what it is, just like we were saying the other answer to the question about karka, right? So let me just take it further. When the Gemara uses the word kinyan, right? The word kinyan typically signifies kinyan sudar. Stam kinyan is kinyan sudar. Right? The Rambam says this. The Gemara knows it. We know this from the Gemara. The Rambam codifies it as if it's a halacha. Look here at page 5. Look at page 5. What is it? Perek, hey, halacha, hey. Right, starting from 1 on page 5. Hakarkos v'havadim v'abehema v'shar kol ha'metaltalim kol echad mehem nikna b'chalipin. Right, listen to that. So interesting. Karka, avadim, behema, metaltalin, ooh, everything. Practically everything except for Isha. Right? Kol echad mehem nikna b'chalipin. Then the Rambam adds, v'hu hanikra kinyan. That's called kinyan. Why does he put it? I mean, it's true, but I think it's there for a reason also. You know why it's nikra kinyan? Because it applies to everything. You know why it applies to everything? Because there's something very, very elemental and basic about kinyan sudar. Second? Yeah. So, why and what? So the sma. Again, in Chosha Mishpat, Simon Kuf Tzadi Vav, I believe, he asks this question, says, how come Chalipin is considered Stam Kinyan? And he gives a couple of answers. Lemaisa, most people, that's the ubiquitous Kinyan, it's the one that most people do. Right? It's the one, it's the easiest one to transact. Kind of bunch of answers. But obviously the most appealing answer would be, right, that its uniformity, its ubiquity, are themselves a function of it being a more core essence, elemental kind of a Kenyan. And I think it is. So what is it about it that is that? So let me just take another step back. I mentioned this last week already. The Rambam, it's a little bit lost on some of the Mefarshim, because the Rambam has this idea in Parakeh, Halacha, Chav Dalet. Just look at it for 1 second on the previous page, page 4 on the bottom, number 36, 37. This is the famous language of the Rambam about Matano Manas Lahachzir, where he says, Omer Leisha Ret Mekudeshes Li Bedin Arzeh Manasha Taksi Reu Li. This is basically a quote of the Gemara so far. The Gemara in Bavmud Beis, which we saw, the Gemara says a woman is given a dinar, right, on menashita, on the condition that you return it, ainim akudeshas, bein akzira, bein lo akzira. Whether she does or doesn't give it back, it's not going to work. Why? Im lo akzira, so lo niskai matanai. If you didn't, you know, fulfill the conditions, then of course it's not going to work. But im akzira, so, which is where it works in Kol HaTorah Kula, it works in Dalad Minim. It works in Pidgin Aben. It works in Trumas HaMaisra. It works in anything. It works in Matana. It works in Kosh HaMishpat. The only place it doesn't work is in Kiddushin. Right? How come it doesn't work in Kiddushin? That's the Gemara in Kiddushin, Rav Medbeis. Right? Where the Gemara says, here, look at the top line, on 13, Levar mi isha lefi shein an isha nikveis. I'm sorry, that's a line in Tosis, but it's Tosis quoting the Gemara. It's here, look at line 10. Somehow, Matanu Manas Lahachzir is connected to Chalipin. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it doesn't work in Kiddushin, even though it works everywhere else. And so that's what the Rambam is quoting. Except the Rambam adds, He says, because there's no, it's not enough hana. It's not kesef shalana. This is the idea of the Rambam of kesef shalana. Fine? This is the Rambam. So because the Gemara linked matana manas lahachzir to chalipin, right? And because the Rambam, right, explains that the problem of matana manas lahachzir is that it's not kesef shalana, a new category. So the Rishonim already, the Ran, others, the Ran and the Avav Medbeis and other, they quote the Rambam as if the Rambam says that Chalipin and Matanu Manas Lahachzir are a problem because they're not Kesef Shalhana. Certainly that's how the Ramban explained Rashi. Right? Matanu Manas Lahachzir is not Kesef Shalhana because you have to return it. Chalipin is not Kesef Shalhana because Yisnayu B'Pachas Mipruta. Maybe also because you usually return it. Right? But the fact is that what something is missing, and that is that the Rambam, in all of Hilchos Ishus, never mentions Chalipin at all. He doesn't bother to tell you that Chalipin doesn't work in Kiddushin. In other words, the Gemara says Matanu Manas Lahachzir doesn't work and compares it to Chalipin. The Rambam has the Matanu Manas Lahachzir part, but Ikar Chasam and Asefer doesn't say anything about Chalipin. Is that how we understood the Gemara when the Gemara said that the common denominator is Kesef Shalana? Maybe. But if it is, he's quiet about it, is all I'm saying. And not so terrible, because as I think somebody here pointed out last week, or if not, it's certainly true anyway, the Rambam doesn't think that chuppah works for Kiddushin. So, minyana deresha lemute mai, he can go with the first answer of the Gemara, lemute chuppah. It's only for avuna that we have to say lemute chalipin. Aye, but matana manas lahachzir, the Gemara, maybe he doesn't have that girsa, the Miri says something, not everybody has that girsa. Or maybe he had the gear, somebody thought that part of it is lowly. But the Hilchasa, the point I'm trying to make is, the Rambam omits Chalipin. He certainly doesn't think it works, but he also doesn't even think he needs to tell you why not. And while the Rishonim all thought it's because of the connection to Matana Manas Lahachzir, and I can't take a Shvu Daraisa that it's not, right? But it's speculation. The Rambam doesn't say one way or another. How come he left it out? So there may be another reason why he left it out. A double reason, or an overlapping reason. Maybe each one alone is enough, or maybe the combination. And that is the Rambam's view of Kiddushin, and the Rambam's view of Kinyan Chalipin generally. Let me explain. The Rambam's view of Kiddushin, that we spent some time discussing this year. What is the first word of the Masechta Ha'isha Niknes? And what is the Rambam's first description of the contribution of Matan Torah to Ishus relative to Ben Noach? Right? The answer is, Kivan Shenitna Torah, they decided that you have to be Kone Isha. Right? Al Yedei Likuchin. Likuchin Eilu Mitzvah Sase. The Rambam takes that language, Niknes, very, very seriously. And the Rambam wants to explain that Pilegesh works only for a Melech, in Perek, right, Dalet Hilchos Melachim, right, the Rambam says, because a Melech has a Kinyan through Pilegesh. He's the only one where Pilegesh constitutes a Kinyan. I mean, the Rambam believes in this Kinyan idea, and he believes that Kiddushin is an Oser, it's a Kinyan, and so on. So, number one, you really need a strong... The Hagdara, the definition of Maisa Kiddushin, is Maisa Kinyan, according to the Rambam. So now the question is Chalipin a Maisa Kinyan? So here's where we get to point number two. What is the Rambam's general view about Kinyan Chalipin? Oh. So let's take a step back for a moment. I should have produced it in the pages, but I didn't. As we know, there's a major debate in the Gemara. Whose object do you use in Chalipin? Right? It starts from the story in Rus, right? The story of Boaz and the Goel. Right? It says there, as we know, right? Shalof Ishnalo Benosan L'Re'ehu, right? Vezos lefanim b'Yisrael, ala geula v'ala tamura, lekayim kol davar, shalaf ishnalo v'nasan l're'eyu. Okay? So, the question is, who gave the now to who? Right? That is ambiguous in the Parsha. So the Gemara says that that ambiguity is partially responsible for the debate between Rav and Levi. And the Gemara says as follows. Right? Here. Bameh konin. Right? With what do you make this kinyan chalipin or sudar? Rav amar bekelev shel konin. That's what we paskin. Right? And intuitively, that's what all of us would think. In other words, I'm about to get this real estate. Right? Or this para. Or this watch. Right? So to do that, I symbolically give you a sudar. The kone, the one who's about to receive, right, the object that is really the target of the transaction, has to give a sudar. Right? In the case of Shava, it's a little trickier because if it's, you know, para for a chamor, you know, so, you know, you're not giving that back, number one, and you're, that's a little bit of a different issue, right? But even then, it's quid pro quo. It's one in exchange for the other. That any kinyan is like that, right? I give you kesef for your watch, right? It always is kelev shel konin. So that's the Gemara says, Rav says, Kelev shel konin. The problem is, if you read the language of the Gemara, you would expect, what, do you need a big justification for that? Kelev shel konin? No. Just a little bit of knowledge of Latin. Right? Quid pro quo. That's all you need to say. You don't really need to know Latin, obviously. Right? I mean, you're exchanging, or symbolically exchanging, and therefore you, the person who's acquiring, have to give something. Right? Instead, the Gemara has a Megillah. A very verbose statement. Listen to this. I read it pretty quickly, but quid pro quo, three words. That's all you need. Right? Or the Hebrew or Aramaic equivalent. Of course it's Kelev shel konin. That's very verbose. Next. Levi Amar Bekelov shel makne. Levi said something even more sensational. He said, no, it isn't quid pro quo. I'm makne my field, I'm giving up my field. First I give up my pen. I give up my pen to you, and then that somehow transfer is responsible for transferring the field. So the Gemara says, meaning, okay, we'll explain Levi in a minute. We'll table that for the moment. Okay. Amar le Rav Huna bin de Sikrata, right? Le Rava. Levi d'amar kevel shamakna. He didn't want to table it. Hakakani ara agav glima? What is this? He gives a sudar and there's a kinyan agav. Piggybacking on the sudar or the pen is this massive real estate project. Im kain havlein nechosim sheisha machrayas niknim im nechosim sheinla machrayas anan ipchatnan nechosim sheinla machrayas niknim nechosim sheisha machrayas. We know of a concept of a piggyback kinyan, except it goes in the exact opposite direction. If you want to sell me metaltalin, right, in the process of selling me karka, which is more substantial, right, that's called kinyan agav. It's the raisa, drabanan. Okay. It needs sivurin, it needs to be the karka, the betaltal needs to be on the karka, or doesn't. It depends whether you say lechazeku kni according to the Rav. A very complicated topic in Masechet Kiddushin later on in Daf Chav Zayin. There's something called kinyan agav. But the way kinyan agav works is that the more substantial or formidable acquisition, the real estate, right, does the heavy lifting, right? It carries with it the metaltalin. So he asked, does Levi think that this is a reverse agav? That you're selling this massive real estate on the pen, on the sudar? You give a sudar, and then that triggers the transfer of the real estate? So the Gemara says, Amale, ihavi Levi hacha, have a mapik, La'apach pulsa nura. Don't tell the New York Times, right? Meaning, if Levi were here to hear how you are misrepresenting his view, right, corrupting his view, he would, he would impose this pulsa denura on you. Right? Them is harsh words. Right? So the Gemara says, "Mi sabras glima maknila." You think the glima, the shirt, the sudar, does the heavy lifting? No. The kinyan is through the hana that, you know, oh, you're accepting my pen, my sudar, right? The hana that you accept my sudar, somehow that triggers this kinyan. It isn't the kinyan agav, it's not a kinyan on top of the other kinyan. It's somehow connected to some sort of hana. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Kitanoi. The argument between them depends on the psukim, and it quotes the Vizosif Fanim B'Yisrael, Ali Gula Atzmur, Lekayim Kol Dover, Shalit Vishnal, Nosel Rehu, Gula Zun Pechira, Chein Mar Lo Yigael, Tmura Zun Chalipin, Chein Mar Lo Yachlifen, Vilo Yamir, Lekayim Kol Dover, Shalit Vishnal, Nosel Rehu, Mina San Lami, Boaz Nosel Goel. Rabbi Yudah said, Goel Nosel Boaz. And then the Gemara says, Tana, Kona B'Kliyaf, Mishem B'Shama Pruta, and the rest of the story. Whole big discussion about different requirements of Chalipin. What's going on in this Gemara? There are two questions. Number one, to explain Levi, Bichlal, we don't pass him like Levi. But we still need to understand what he meant. And we need to know, once we understand what he meant, we need to know whether there's any echo, whether the way that he understood Chalipin is relevant to us who pass him like Rav. Number two, is we need to understand better that very verbose Rav. Now, if you think that Chalipin is mammon, or even barter, exchange, right, then you basically, mostly you have to say that the Gemara's explanation of Rav is a little verbose, but, you know, don't dwell on it, right? We've seen succincter formulations, but at the end of the day, it's quid pro quo whether it sounds like it or not. It looks like it, therefore it doesn't matter whether it sounds like it. Okay. But there's another way to attack Levi and to explain Rav, I think. And that is based on how Reb Chaim developed the Rambam Shita in Chalipin. Although I don't know that he interpreted Levi and Rav this way, but I think it's a good chance that he did. And if not, it doesn't matter anyway, because it suggests itself. What is that? Basically, the idea that Chalipin is a kinyan of Gemirus Das. Meaning, the Maisa kinyan, part of Chalipin, is not substantial enough to justify what is taking place. And that's reflected, number one, in the disparity, especially in Shavah. There might be differences between Shavah and Shavah, Ben Shavah. But certainly in Shavah, the Eina Shavah, I mean, the two objects are not... Well, this thing's worth $1 million, and you're using a pen or something less than a pruta to transfer it. It's hard to see that as kesef, maybe symbolic kesef. It's hard to see it as a maisa kinyan, even. More likely, what's really happening is that you're using the sudar as a way to objectify and concretize an agreement, a commitment of das. Gemirus Das, or what Reb Chaim called Das HaMizchayev, a higher level of Das that is based on the notion of commitment. Not just Das, which is assent or agreement. You do an action, the action does the heavy lifting. But of course it can't be Ba'anus or Ben Misasek. You don't have to know what you're doing, and you have to agree that the action that you're doing should carry this legal weight or legal, you know, sanction. It should be this legal symbol. That's what happens in a regular kinyan. You have a kinyan, and there's gemirus das. We'll call that das makne, right? The das that the kinyan that you're doing should be effective to accomplish the transaction. Das mischayev is basically where all the heavy lifting is being done by the commitment, by the agreement itself. And for that reason, it may require a higher level of das, a higher capacity, right? Because it's the commitment itself to the deal, right? That is, now, the only thing is that it can't be completely subjective. So we need to do something that kind of gives concreteness, so it isn't Dvarim B'Alma, we'll call it. And what that is this Kinyan Sudar. So now there's a debate between Levi and Rav, and now we can really understand both perspectives. What both Levi and Rav want to do is create a legal framework that isn't Dvarim B'Alma. It's not just words, and it's not just Asmachta, but it is connected to some sort of actual legal transactional framework, right, which makes the Das commitment more substantial. Levi's idea of how to do that, right, is I want to transfer the real estate through Das to the other fellow. First I have to do a real transaction. A small one, a symbolic one. I have to kind of like open the floodgates. I have to create a legal framework. This is my understanding of Levi. So what I do is I transfer a pen. I transfer a sudar. I'm not exchanging. No exchange because it's Levi, it's Kelo Shalmakne. What I'm doing is I'm establishing the context or framework of legal concrete transfer. One I do through this negligible action, and then I'm able to be in a shvunk, if you will, of Kinyanesque Dasa Mitzchayev. What's that?
What kind of word?
Shvunk.
Is that a
Yiddish word? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, shvunk is a Yiddish word.
It's a Yiddish word. Okay. It's like a framework, like a path, a shvil. Go ahead.
What about the secular the meaning of the mind?
We're talking about a meaning of minds. I'm just trying to give it. What I'm saying is that Levi requires a legal framework for the meaning of the minds. If I'm giving you a sudar, now, in light of this, for both Rav and Levi, as we'll explain, the idea that, you know, this is, I don't really care that he should keep it, because it's not a real exchange. Moreover, whatever that framework is, the real action is without a Maisa Kenyan. Because it's not a Kenyan Begufa Davar, there's no real exchange here. That's what Levi says. Levi says, the Gemara thought originally it's a Kenyan Agav. Now the Gemara is saying it's not a Kenyan Agav. What's the Hanah part? The Hanah is what creates the framework. In other words, the context and the contacts between us are legal, concrete Kenyanim, right? I made you happy by giving you, you made me happy by accepting me as a legal trading partner, right? And now there's a framework for me to transfer something more formidable. Okay, we don't paskin like, by the way, there were those who didn't understand Levi this way. There was those who understood that Levi meant that the Kenyan is based on the Hana, oh, you gores me, you acknowledge me as a significant person, right? You're accepting my gift. So the Rishonim ask, number one, Levi holds Dafka Caleb Shomakna or also Caleb Shomakna? He doesn't believe in quid pro quo of exchange of objects. He only believes in quid pro quo when there's this kind of indirect Hana. That's A. So some they debate that. Is it also Caleb Shamakna or only Caleb? But if you say only, it's a little difficult, right? According to my pshat in Levi, it's only. Secondly, the Gemara says in Kiddush and Daf Chesam and Aleph that if a woman, right, says, accept my gift, and by accepting it, right, you know, you'll have made me so happy that I'll be miskadeshes to you. If he's an Adam Chashuv, that's called Kiddushay Adam Chashuv. And it works. But only if he's an Adam Chashuv. If I give, the King of England, or Queen of England, or whatever it is, or the President of the United States, or the President-elect, if I give him a gift and he accepts it, right? That's a feather in my cap. But only if he's an Adam Chashuv. So the Rishonim said, if this is what Levi's saying, then you should need an Adam Chashuv. The truth is that the Ran on the Rambam, here on Daf Ches, in Kiddushin, the Ran and others say, well, according to Levi, you know, if Kelo Shomakneh, right? Should work. Well, why is a mabeh nasa chalipin? Why is a peiros nasa? It's just the kinyan adam chash. They think there's a pshat in the Rambam. Some of them say no. You really need a kli. It's not really adam chash. The alternative to explaining Levi is that it's quid pro quo, but it's hana. But it's hard to explain dafka kelim shalmakin, and it's hard to explain why this should work and somebody's not an adam chash. According to them. What I'm saying, it's a whole different perspective. Now we pass like Rav. So that's really what we care about. So now we understand the lengthy formulation. And the Meiri in Kiddushin kind of says this. You have to just read it with a bit of a microscope or magnifying glass. Why such a long... Why not just say, you need Kelo Shokona, because you're getting something, you have to give something. Quid pro quo. How come the Gemara is so long? Let me look at the language one more time. What does it say? The nichale lekona de lehava makne kona ki heched the ligmar veliknile. What does it mean? No, it means the kinyan da. What it means is, I want to set up a legal framework for this transaction. So the way I do it is a kind of boomerang, not an exchange. I give him something so that when he now professes to commit Dasa Mitzchayev to transferring the field to me, right? The fact that there is already a trading relationship between, for Koita Levi, it's in the same direction. For Rav, it's a quid pro quo trading relationship, albeit not an exchange. That's what the words exactly mean. That's really what they say. So, the Nichale Lakona, it's in the Kona's best interest to have a Makna Kona, that the Makna should be really serious and concretize his das to be sell to him. It's worth it for me to give you something to concretize your commitment to giving me the thing that we really care about. That's what it is. Oh, so now getting to the Gemara Nedarim, what does the Gemara say in Nedarim? One of two things. Either that typically, when it comes to a Kinyan Sudar, people give it back. Or that they have to give it back, depending on what the psak is. Right? Why? And why do they typically give it back if they don't have to give it back? Like, why is that interesting or important? The answer is because it's a way of highlighting that we're using this mechanism to concretize the real Davar HaMakneh, which is the Das. But it's not a quid pro quo. It's not a Maisa Kinyan. I'm not giving you a handkerchief and getting a field. I'm using the handkerchief to make sure that when you transfer the field, you're really focusing and committing and mustering the proper level of Das and Mishayev. So at the end of the day, keeping the handkerchief is irrelevant, and therefore typically there's no point to it. And maybe you can't even. Maybe it's like Kniyamanasa Haknis in a certain sense. Oh. So now let's get back to another question. How come Kinyan Sudar is called Kinyan? Right? The smallest question. Why? Just because it's most often used, ubiquitous, or across different types of objects, uniform? Is that the reason? And how come Kinyan Sudar uniformity is a reason that it works in Karka according to some Rishonim without being in the Mishnah? And it's a reason why it's an exception to the rule in Masechet Bechoros about the difference between Kinyan Yisrael and Kinyan Akum, mutually exclusivity? Well, I think the answer is all these are the same answer, namely, because there's something very core and elemental about a Kinyan Sudar. Namely, in every Kinyan, the most important element, really, in the end of the day, is the Das, the Gemir's Das, the fact that there's an agreement to make these changes. Now, that's not enough, in most cases, to transfer an object. It has to be objectified. Maybe you need the heavy lifting being done by the Maisa Kinyan. Right, but that element of the idea of a kinyan based purely on commitment and das is a very elemental basic idea, as long as you can pull it off. That's kinyan. Right? And of course it doesn't matter whether it's real estate or because The difference is what's singular about Metaltalin and Karka, and what's singular about Kinyan Yisrael and Kinyan Akum, is the Maisa Kinyan, the symbolic physical actions that you're going to do. But this core notion of commitment, right, of Gmir's Das, of Das and Mischayev, of course that's common to any transaction between people. Between Jew and non-Jew, in real estate and mobilia, of course it doesn't make a difference. So, in light of this, it's also very fascinating to note that there is something in the Gemara in Bava Basra, in the beginning of the Masechta in Bava Basra, called Kinyan Dvarim Bialma. Gemara says that there are certain things are not subject to Kinyanim. Like, you know, two partners, they want to split up their... So one, they make an agreement, oh, you're going to get the south, you're going to get the north. So Gemara says, no, that... Until they do something more, that agreement, right, is not going to work. Even if they did a Kinyan Sudar on the agreement, oh, I'll get the south, you'll get the north, until they actually split up the assets, right, that is Kinyan Dvarim Bialma. It's just words. It's not concrete enough. However, we do find in the Gemara that there are certain things that look like Kinyan Dvar Mi'alma, but they're not. And almost all of them operate with, what would you know? Kinyan Sudar, Kalipin. Obviously, there's a debate in the Rishonim to explain what is the fine line, what's called a Kinyan Dvar Mi'alma. I'll give you two examples that we discussed last year very, very extensively. Right? We talked about whether Pshara requires a Kinyan. Right, the Gemara's discussion, Rishonim's discussion, mostly about whether Pshara, compromise and din, requires a Kinyan, is about Kinyan Sudar. It's true that the Rajba and the Tshuva and some others apply it also to Chazak and other things, but in the Gemara it talks about Kinyan Sudar. What we've explained about Pshara is that it's not, the focus isn't on the money, right? It's on the method of, or the mode of din. Are you going the din way or the pshara way? Not the result, the method. So it's if there's a kinyan that commits you to that approach, it's kinyan sudar. Or masna shomrchinam lios kishomer sachla, or kishoel, or masna shol lios kishomrchinam. Right? Mishnah in Bav Metzia, Tzadi Gemo, or Dalet, and the Gemara says, v'hu dekanu biyado. So the Rishonim say, oh, I guess that's not Kinyan Dvar Mi'alma. It's over the line. It's a real good Kinyan. But it's all through Kinyan Sudar. So look at the Rambam here for a minute. The Rambam says, yeah, we'll get to that one in a minute. Look at Halacha Yud for a minute. No. Look at Halacha Yud Aleph for a minute. This is on page 5. And it's number 19. Page 519. Yesh dvarim harbe she'enan tzrichen kinyan, ve'en lekinyan bahem tach. Says the Rambam, there are numerous things that don't require a kinyan, and if you did a kinyan, you're just wasting your time. There's no point to it. Okay? Kagon, am shacharis avdo, person frees his slave, am agarish asishto, osa shliach, appointing a shliach, moser moda, right? Mevatel moda, these are like warnings, or protests. Hamocha lechaveru chov, pikadon sheish biyado. There are numerous things, like mechila, we discussed last year, mechila tzricha kinyan, ein tzricha kinyan. There are numerous transactions that work without a kinyan, that don't need a kinyan, that if you made a kinyan are meaningless. Then that's one halacha. Then in halacha yibes, he says, no agorov hamakomos, lahaknos lemikzasei ledvarim. But people, for some reason, do kinyanim in these cases. Okiyotze be'elu. Ve'omrim, and they say, ve'kaninu mi'ploni sh'asa ploni shliach. They make a kinyan sudar to make a shliach. Osha machal le'ploni chov she'esh lo'otza, osha bit lo'ho moda, and so on. Afa p'shein sarach. Interesting Rambam. Interesting history. Then halacha yigimol. Kinyan zesh enogu l'haknos be'elu advar, ne'en emol klum. The third halacha on this. By the way, you should know, it doesn't do anything. Right? It's really just to show that he's serious, that he's committed, and he's not joking. אלא שגמר בליבו ויחקה כמר. לפיכך, אמר בלב שלם, אני אמרתי וגמרתי, לעשות דבר זה, אין צורך דבר אחר כלל. So you don't need the kinyan tzudor. He could just say, you know what, I'm really, really serious. Fine. הדברים שאין בהם ממש, אין קניין מועל בהם, זה הלכה יודלת. כיצד? Now the arm's going in the other direction. Right? There are some things that don't need a kinyan. He might as well just say, I'm very serious. Although he's not dismissing the fact that the kinyan says that. Right? Then he says, there are some things where kinyan doesn't work. Even though you might think it would. Hadvarim shein, but this is the din of kinyan dvarim v'yalma. Ein kinyamo kietzar, areisha kasa b'shtar, v'kanina miploni sheyelech b'schorim ploni. Right, he'll go into business without specifying. Oshi yichalko asada shebeneim. We'll split up our property. Oshi yishtak fushneim b'umanos. V'kiosim dvarim kulan, areisha kinyan dvarim, meinamo klum shor, lo hikin l'chaver dover misu. It's not specific enough, the yadua. Lo ikar v'laperus ikar ha-yadua. Okay. And there's a debate. What is and what isn't. So, number one, I mean, you could, again, I don't want to mislead anybody here. The Rambam is telling us kind of an interesting history. You know, there are futile kinyan sudars in two directions. Ones that people make that aren't necessary. Ones that people, you know, make that they think are effective that aren't effective. Okay. He could just be filling in, you know, interesting legal history. Is to preclude, you know, misconceptions. But what I'm trying to suggest is these errors are actually substantively significant errors. There are errors and there are errors. There are some errors that are just completely wrong. Right? And there are errors that result from applying a relevant idea or relevant concept. It happens to be that you know that it's not necessary, it's insufficient, but it's not absurd at all. You can understand a lot about kinyan. No one would have said, oh, you know, people make kinyan chazaka when they don't need to, or kinyan chazaka when it doesn't, you know, when, on things that can't work, or kesef, or mashicha. The only thing you're going to say this about is kinyan sudar. Because what all these things are on the border of Gemiras Das. So let me give you one more now, and then we'll finish this off next week. One more example from the Ravid, of course. And then we'll talk more about the Rambam next week, but I'll just tell you where I'm going with it. The Rambam says in Perek Hey Halacha Tes, number 10, Zeh Kinyan, right, this Kinyan Sudar, Ein Tzorach Lios Bifnei Eid. Doesn't need Eid Kiyum. Just like nothing else in Dine Mamanis requires Eide Kiyum. I mean, it doesn't need the presence of witnesses. Ela im haya beno ben chaveru kona. If it took place privately, that's fine. Shlo tzricha Torah Eidim b'dini Mamanis el lekofer. Because in general, that's a Gemara in Kiddushin. We've read it. On Sabachem with base. Lo ibri sahadi ela l'shakri. Meaning in Dine Mamanis, the purpose of witnesses is to establish what happened. It's not a formal requirement to legalize or validate or solemnize some status. Bim hifstika inyan, ein echad mehem yachal achzor. No, did I read right then? No, I skipped the wrong one. Sorry. Yeah. Avol amochar anosen osochar mashul kiyotz ve'im tzorach edim. V'kim shekona kona b'derech hacham and adrochim shekona b'hem. It's true with everything. Agba, meshicha, mesira, kinyan, kesef, shtar, chazaka, kona. Av b'shein shamedim. Says the Ravid, Amar Bram, ein akomoda b'kinyan. Not everybody agrees about kinyan sudar that you don't maybe do need edim for edikiyu. That's astonishing, right? And the Ravid in Balabasra, Daf Mem, quotes such a shita. He himself clearly doesn't hold this way. It doesn't work fit with the other things that he says, which we'll discuss next week. But why would it be that in all of Dine Mamanus, the only kinyan that might require a kinyan sudar, I'm sorry, that might require edikiyu, is kinyan sudar? And the Bali Tosis also. Balak Tosfos in a number of places reject the idea that kinyan sudar requires Eide Kiyum. Obviously, there was something floating around in early Tzorfat, Ashkenaz, Provence. There were obviously people who were saying, and it sounds that way, the Gemara says, kinyan bifnei shnayim. So just linguistically, it sounds like the kinyan sudar requires Eidin. Right? So the Rav Rishonim said, no. But there is a shita. So Reb Chaim's idea, which is that things that require a higher level of commitment may also require a kiyum, works very well here. So what I'm going to try to show next week is that this certainly is not only the Rambams that we showed, but two other Rambams as well, or three other Rambams as well. And that might be the reason why the Rambam omitted Chalipin from Hilchos Ishus. Because for the Rambam, you need a kinyan as part of the Hagdara of Maisa Kiddushin. It isn't just the Kalos kinyan. And therefore you need a Maisa kinyan. And the Rambam of all Rishonim was maybe the strongest in articulating that kinyan Chalipin is not a Maisa kinyan. And therefore, there's not even need to reject it. It's so obvious. Okay, we'll finish with this. It's a shadow next week.